Well, Brother Benny, you come up and just give what the Lord's given you, and we'll kick this meeting off and
Amen.
Keep it going. God bless you, brother. Good to have you tonight.
Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house when the Lord's at home. Amen. When you get to testifying like that, I believe the Lord draws nigh to hear what His children have to say. And it's just good to be here. One of the most eerie feelings that you'll ever experience is to be in someone else's home when they're not there. You're afraid you'll bust something, break something, so you just sit still and don't move. You feel like, I'm not supposed to be here. But it's good when we can come into the Lord's house and the Lord is present and we just give Him our all in this service. It's camp meeting time. And you know as well as I do, I was thinking about it on the way over here today, that I've been coming up here in this meeting, Brother Lawrence, if I got it figured right, for about 32 years. 87. Well, it's about 29 years then. 87, I thought it was 84. That's right. 1986. Well, that'll be 30 years that I've been coming up here. 32? Amen. Being a part of the meeting, and it's just good to see the Lord still has churches that want to have meetings like this. And we've taken this Wednesday night and we've used it to kind of prime our pump and get us ready for the other preachers that are coming this way. And boy, it's good to see Brother Gene. He made a special effort to be here tonight, leaving his church, coming. So I appreciate Brother Gene. Brother Larry Logston's here tonight. And he left his church to come and just help us kick this meeting off. So I've got two things on my heart just to get started with tonight. The first one is, what could God do for you this week? The Bible said in Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So there has to be a hunger. There has to be a thirst. What could God do for you this week? You know, the Bible said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And you got a Kleenex? Let me see your handkerchief just a minute, brother. Don't have one. You got a Kleenex right here. There's something I want to show you. All needs one. They that wait on the Lord. Now here's the average Christian this day and time interpreting that verse. What are you doing, Brother Hatfield? Waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on Him. But that word wait carries with it a different definition than just hanging out. We don't come to church to hang out. That word wait means this. You see if you can define it just by watching. Amen. They that wait on the Lord. Lord, Could I get you a cup of tea? Lord, could I get you a hamburger? Lord, could I give you a salad with some good chunky blue cheese dressing? That word wait means that you are serving the Lord. They that wait on the Lord. So we're not just sitting in church hanging out. There's more to it. That's why Brother Lawrence wanted somebody to stand up and tell about how good God's been to you this week. You said, what is that? It's waiting on the Lord. So we renew our strength. We come in here in this place and we get from God exactly what we need out of this service. Now there's two things that await us. First of all, there are others out there that needs what we have. They need what we have in our lives. And if we're not careful, we will lose our focus on how important they are in our lives of ministry. They're out there. I preach a message on entitled "The Trial Jesus Should Have Had." I preached it here about 20, 25 years ago. But we call the witnesses that we feel like should have been called. We call Mary. We let her tell about the virgin conception. We call Legion. We call Lazarus. And then right on the very end of the message, we call the last witness. And I say, if you would, I'd like to call you and let you get on this stand and testify what you know about Jesus. And everyone is glad to do that. But the need is this. I said all that to make a point. The need is this. Every day, sinners are having court down in their soul, and they're trying to make a decision about what they need in their life. And you know what God does? He sends witnesses by. Witnesses that'll take the stand and tell under oath exactly what they know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's those witnesses that convinces that sinner that they have something that they don't have in their life. And so we need to be mindful of that. So what can God do for you? Because they're out there and they're waiting on us. Secondly, it's not an easy thing today to maintain a Christian life. We're living among a generation that is anti-God and anti-church. They don't like what we're doing. From Ellen DeGenerate to the rest of the degenerates. They don't like what we're doing in this room tonight. And we need to get something from God that will enable us to get our second wind and continue to do what we're doing for God. If you're not careful now, you'll let your guard down and you'll say, what's the use? No one is going to listen anyway. Well, I repeat my question. What can God do for you? And if you have something in mind this week that you want God to do for you, then I believe blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. So don't hang out this week, but wait on the Lord when you come to church. Say, how do I wait on Him? Here's one good suggestion. It's all right to sing during the song service. It's all right to do that. Grab a book, rare back. You say, well, I can't sing good. Neither can I, but I still do it. Amen. Make a joyful noise. That means be happy while you're doing it. Amen. It's right to sing. It's right to amen the preacher. Yeah, you don't just sit there and look at him. I remember when I first started preaching, I had a habit, Brother Larry. I would pick out the most spiritual person in the song service, and I would preach to that person. And I always knew if they amen the song service and they sing out loud, then I can go to church with them. And I had that little system set up. One night I got up to preach. This dear lady, saint of God, up in her 60s or 70s, she sang and she shouted and she praised God. And I said to myself, sister, me and you gonna preach tonight. We're gonna have us a time. So I read my verse, had prayer, got into my message, and I looked over at her, and she was sitting back there. So my system didn't work. Amen. But God's does. Wait upon the Lord. Amen the preacher this week. Sing the songs. And amen the singers. They enjoy that. So this should be the loudest place on this earth. Right here. Or be the loudest place. Now Brother Lawrence asked for testimonies a while ago, and I had this on my heart. I also want to give you an assignment. I want to ask you to tell me, where did you get saved? Now you may say Grace Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. That's fine if this is where you got saved. If it was in the upper room, then tell us about it. But where was you when you got saved? Our problem is we've gotten over being saved. We need a revival of getting back used to our salvation. What a wonderful thing it is to be saved. So where was you when you got saved? Who would tell me first? Got saved. You can get saved at home. Isn't that a blessing? All right, Brother Jay. In what church? Okay, you can get saved in a Pentecostal church. Can't you, Brother Jay? Amen. Amen. That may not be our doctrine, but I'll tell you what, you can get saved there. Amen. That's what counts. Miss Betty, where were you? Back when the church first started in the cabinet shop. Amen. You can get saved in a cabinet shop. Okay, who's next? in a Baptist church you can get saved. I heard somebody over. In the basement of your home, you can get saved. Isn't that good? Amen. Where were you, preacher? In Delaware, you can get saved at First Baptist Church. Glory to God. Isn't that a blessing? Who's next? All right. In Bible school, you can get saved in Vacation Bible School. Isn't that a blessing? All right, Brother Gene. Upstairs, I remember that one night till what, 2 o'clock in the morning, there was people still here weeping over the goodness of God. Amen. Okay. In the driveway, you can get saved in your driveway. Isn't that a blessing? All right, who's next? Sister? Camp Canaan. You can get saved at Camp Canaan. God bless Brother Noah. He'll be here this week, hopefully. We need to pray for Miss B. Amen. Who's next? In Hanson, Kentucky, you can get saved. Even somebody that don't know what they got can lead you to the Lord and you can get saved. What a blessing. I was listening to a tape this week of up in Cincinnati, John Rollins. And Dr. Rollins said there were so many people coming to the altar to get saved that he led a man to the Lord, and he got up after they prayed and seen another man come, and he grabbed him by the arm and said, "Tell him what God just did for you." The man just got saved and he's already a soul winner. Isn't that a blessing? Man, get saved. Who's next? Okay. In Illinois, you can get saved. What a blessing. Amen. Who's next? Okay. El Dorado, Illinois. Wonderful. You can get saved. Isn't that a blessing? In a church. It's amazed me how many was at home or in your driveway, and not always in a church, in Bible school, camp, different places, but God can save souls. All right, who's next? Anybody else? Amen. You can get saved in your own home. Well, if you can get saved in your home, don't you think you can have revival there? Amen. It's legal to pray and read your Bible and even preach sometimes at home if you want to. You say, well, God didn't call me. He won't get mad at you for preaching at your own house. Preach. Amen. Anybody else? Where were you when you got saved? Freedom. Where's Freedom Baptist? Okay, you can get saved at Freedom Baptist Church, Amy. Glenwood Baptist. You can get saved. Good, Amy. God's done a lot for Amy. It's good to see her. Amen. Anybody else tonight? In Missouri. New Jersey. You can get saved in New Jersey. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Anyone else? I don't want to skip anybody. In Bandetta, Kentucky. You can get saved in your backyard. What a blessing. Amen. Been good all this time, ain't it, sister? In Maryland, you can get saved. Isn't it amazing? You wouldn't think just in a room this size, look how far the gospel reached out and brought us all together in one common place. Anyone else? 8-year-old, you can get saved and grow up and be the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Boy, you never know what God's got in store. That's why I say tonight, wait on the Lord. Spend your life serving Him. If for no other reason, He tips good. You say you're one of them prosperity preachers. No, I'm not. But I'm telling you, God has fed me for all these years that I've known Him, for 42 years. He's taken care of me, and I appreciate Him for loving me. He tips good. Amen. Anybody else? I think everybody spoke, but I don't want to miss anybody. Thank you for participating in the service tonight. Now, you've sown, so I hope you reap something from that. And got a blessing from the Lord. Open your Bible with me to the book of John. John chapter 15 tonight. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I say that about a lot of them. But I got several favorite ones. But John 15 is certainly one of those chapters. And when we read John 15, I want to go read Ephesians 3:17, if you want to find that, or be ready to turn to Ephesians 3:17. Tonight, as we give you what the Lord has laid upon my heart, would you stand with me now while I read my Bible to you? I tell you what, let's read Ephesians first, and then I'll pray and let you be seated. If you're not physically able to stand, you remain seated. That'll be fine. But Ephesians chapter 3, in verse number 17, I can get my Bible turned. Look what it says. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Where's he going to dwell? In your heart. In your heart, where your emotions are. God is going to dwell there. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, I want to bring to your attention that statement, being rooted and grounded in love. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this time of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies we've heard tonight, for just a good spirit in this church. Lord, a good way to start camp meeting. And Lord, we thank you for the public reading of our Bible. What would I dare say to this congregation? Lord, except I have a Bible, and this Bible has never led me wrong, never been the wrong influence in my life. And I thank you for it, and I pray your blessings upon it, and I pray now you'll bless this time of preaching. Give us, Lord, that anointing of God that every preacher stands in need of. And then, Lord, would you bless this altar tonight? Help us to see that the invitation is not the end of the service, it's the reason for the service. Bless that altar tonight. We'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In John chapter 15, verse number 1, Jesus is speaking, as your Bible indicates in red, if you have a red letter edition. I am the true vine. I emphasize that he was a vine. He said, and my Father is the husbandman, or the Father is the owner, and the Father is the one that the vineyard is there for. And Jesus said, in this vineyard, I'm a vine. I grow out and extend myself. I'm a vine. Now look at verse 2. Every branch, that word branch is what you are. You're a part of the vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he, the Father, taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse number 6, he said, if a man abide not. Look at verse number 7. If ye abide in me, he says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now watch this. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Now verse 11 is what I'm getting to. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus said, I'm talking to you about my Father, and I'm using an illustration of a vineyard. And the vineyard has a vine. And Jesus said, I'm that vine. And ye are the branches of the vine. Now you know as well as I do that on a grapevine it is the branches that bear fruit. And if that branch bears fruit, that husbandman will come by at the appropriate time and he will snip that branch. And when he snips that branch, next spring it'll come out and it will divide itself into two. So it will bear fruit, then it will bear more fruit, and then it will bear much fruit. There is a growing process that takes place in the life of the Christian. In this illustration of Jesus being the vine, he said in verse number 11, these things, in other words, all the way from verse 1 down to verse 10, these things have I spoken unto you, that two things will happen. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus said, ye are my joy. In other words, you are what turns God on. It's you. Now, can you imagine being God and you look for some kind of entertainment and you look out over your creation and you see the Milky Way? Do you think God would look at the Milky Way and say, man, look at that. I did a great job on that Milky Way. Well, I want to say that is not his joy. Would he look at Mars? Would he say, I really outdid myself when I made Mars? No, it's not Mars. Well, what is it that really excites God? What turns God on? And he said that my joy might remain and that your joy might be full. So the joy of God is like this vineyard. The joy of God, the expression of God, is like this vineyard. And the joy of God is a vine that runs out on the trellis. And the vine is producing branches. And every branch that bears not fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. But every vine that does, a branch that does bear fruit, he said he will purge it and it'll bear more fruit. Why? For one reason, that his joy might remain. The joy of God, or that one thing that turns God on, that excites him, and that is every sinner that gets saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of our blessed Savior. That turns God on. That is his joy. You say, why did he have a virgin birth for you? You were the motivation. You were the joy. You were the reason. He saw you before you was even born. Amen. And I heard a preacher the other day preaching on salvation. And he said it would not be eternal salvation if it did not exist eternally. And so the salvation exists eternally and there will be no end to it. But it also, if it is eternal, then it had to not have a beginning. And it always existed. And the Bible said it's not his will that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So the joy of God is that every sinner would be saved. That turns God on. That is what God is about. That is what he exists for. And that is why he goes from day to day in and out of your life. And so God wants to see more sinners saved. That's his joy. And that joy that God had will find its way into your life and root in you. And if you look back over in Ephesians, he said, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. The one part of this vine that you do never see is the root of the vine. You know it's there. It's doing its job because the vine is healthy and the branches are producing fruit. And every time that this vine is able to produce fruit, it turns the husbandman on. That's his living. That's what he lives by. That's his income for the year. And God is no different. Brother Lawrence, I don't buy this thing that some were born to go to heaven and some were born to go to hell. I believe let whosoever will come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. And the grace of God is going out because God has a joy when he looks down and sees some lost sinner saved by the grace of God. I remind you tonight, that is still what it's all about. It's not about having a good camp meeting. It's not about preaching good or singing good. It's about the joy of God
finding its way into this room through your heart, and that joy roots in you, and your joy remains, is what verse 11 said. So the joy of God can find its root in you if you look at Ephesians 3. And that joy of God roots in you, and then it remains in you, according to verse number 11. So I want to take those things tonight, and if God will help me for a few minutes, I want to preach a message entitled, When My Joy Roots. When my joy roots, we know what turns God on, but what is it that turns you on? And I know that I'm in the state where you can't hardly wait for basketball season to get here. You said, how come, Brother Hatfield? Because all these true blue fans are waiting on that little ball to bounce it up and down. And I'm not fussing about that tonight. But I'm just saying that should not be our joy. Our joy ought to be what's happening in this room tonight. Amen. And he said, my joy would remain, in verse number 11. So when my joy roots, I've got to get his joy in me and let it root in my life, and then I can maintain that joy and go out and let it root in others' lives. And tonight, it's something that can happen to every one of us in this room. I don't know if you've ever led anybody to the Lord, but I'm telling you, you will never get any closer to God than at that moment when you take your Bible or a gospel tract, you sit down with some lost sinner and lead them to the Lord. You said, what are you doing, Brother Hatfield? I'm rooting in them. My joy is rooting in their life. Now you find it all through the Bible. For an example, you have Naomi that lived and met Orpha and Ruth. And the Bible said that when the famine was over and she heard there was bread in the land, she told her two daughter-in-laws that she was going back home. And Orpha came, and did you notice what she did? She kissed Naomi and turned and went away. But Ruth clung unto her. You said, what happened, Brother Hatfield? I want to say to you tonight, that Naomi rooted in Ruth, and Ruth got exactly what Naomi had in her own life through the process of her joy. Her joy was that bread is back in our land. I'm going home. My joy is I'm going to see my family. And Ruth said, oh, but death part thee and me. Thy people will be my people. Thy God, my God. He said, what happened? She rooted in her. And she became exactly what Ruth was standing for in her life. I guess I could word it like this if I get out of my little comparison a little bit, but You should clone yourself somewhere before you leave this walk of life. You ought to clone yourself in someone else. How do you do that? Well, you take a mother plant and you snip it right below its second leaf, and you pull that second leaf off, and you walk over and stick it into a root-tone soil and water it and pamper it and give it plenty of sunlight, and that plant will root and grow. And when you take the Word of God and you go out and clone yourself, you are finding a sinner and you are rooting down in their life, and they become like you, and they want what you have in your life. It's still the foundation of our church in this day and time, but we've gotten away from it. We've gotten big on our music. We've gotten big on our production. We've gotten all bent out of shape on the wrong things. But tonight you still build churches by cloning the saint of God and letting what God did for you root in somebody else's life. That's what Naomi did to Ruth. That's what Elijah did to Elisha. Remember how Elijah would not leave Elijah? And Elijah said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "I just want a double portion of thy spirit." He said, "Well, I'm going to be taken away, but if you see me, it'll be granted unto you." And Elijah was going to Gilgal and Bethel, and right behind him was Elisha, never leaving his side, right there, everywhere he went, everything that he did. Finally, the chariot of the Lord came down, and Elijah seen it, and God blessed him. Amen. You said, how do you know? Because Elijah performed 7 miracles in his ministry. Elijah performed 14 miracles in his ministry. So I'm saying to you tonight that we ought to clone ourselves and double our attendance by going out and reaching in somebody else's life and let our joy root in them. Our problem is we don't have our joy right. Our joy is, right now, is like this. Here's our joy. Time, it's 15 after 9 in my time. Amen. Our joy is we come in to get out, but we ought to come in to get in. Amen. You still build churches one at a time and going forth and letting your joy root in somebody else's life. Remember how that Paul rooted in Timothy? Remember how Moses rooted in Joshua? Remember how Jesus rooted in his disciples? On and on you go, and time shows us not only in our Bible, but according to history, we've seen down through the years that churches have been built by going out and rooting in other people the joy that God has done in our lives. But the joy's got to be there. And no wonder the author wrote and said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." our joy. We struggle with it. We come in here and we think, all right, let's get it on. Let's get it over. Then we go out, and to be honest with you, our Bibles lay on the perch. Our knees are seldom bent, and a world is dying and going to hell. And we need a little preacher to come in here and take his Bible and try to make sense out of this thing I'm showing you tonight, that there is still a lost and dying world out there. And the only way to reach them is through what we have in our own lives tonight. What God did for you right here, you can do for others through your life by letting your joy rooting them. If your joy is Kentucky basketball, that'll root in your kids. If your joy is Alabama football, that'll root in your kids. Adam and Andrew both are Alabama fans. They're not Auburn. Down in Alabama, we're for Alabama and whoever plays Auburn. Amen. But that ain't my joy. My joy tonight is up there in the state of Pennsylvania. Adam is pastoring First Baptist Church of Siri, Pennsylvania. And he's taking his Bible and he's leading those Catholics to the Lord. And his church is growing and he's baptizing them. And you say, how do you do it? You clone yourself. You find somebody that don't know how good God is, and you root down in them, and your joy will reach out and become their joy, and they'll be saved by the grace of God. I hope this makes sense tonight. When my joy roots, I want to say to you tonight, I have a joy. When it comes to the scriptures. And I want this old Bible to root in you. The scriptures. We ought to read it daily. Let's just say that all we need is preaching. By the way, preaching, I'm a preacher. But preaching is secondhand information about an original source. There's only one way to get to the original source, and that's with an open Bible in your hand and you looking down reading your pages of your Bible. My joy is in the scriptures. I love the Word of God. I was on the phone this afternoon with a deacon down in Alabama that's going through a great physical trial, and depression is eating him up. He called me and he said, Brother Hatfield, I went to a deacon meeting last night. I've been to church 3 weeks in a row. He said, I just want to thank you for being a blessing in my life. I'm not trying to brag on me, but I'm saying they're out there. They need ministering to. And somebody's got to root down in them and let their joy become his joy too. It can't be Kentucky basketball and Alabama football, but it can be the scripture. I want my joy of the scriptures to root in you. I want my joy of the sanctuary to root in you. The house of God. Oh, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. In Hebrews 10:25. as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And we're to come into the house of God with joy down in our soul. Joy about church and about being in God's presence here. And I want that joy that I have to reach out tonight and root in somebody in this auditorium. Somebody maybe that's got to the point where you don't like church anymore. Church just don't turn you on. It's not your joy. You may not say it outwardly. You may not admit it, confess it. But down in your heart, you know, I don't love the house of God like I used to. And I want my joy of being here tonight to root in you. I pray my joy of salvation will root in somebody tonight. Amen. Still good to be saved, ain't it? It's good to be saved. My joy of the Savior, I hope it roots in somebody tonight. I was in West Virginia last week, and I've been in that area preaching for 30 years. And a man in his 50s, maybe 60-year-old, come to hear me preach. Every time I was in the area, he came. And I preached the meeting last week. I turned it over to the pastor and I said, I believe I've done what God asked me to do. And the pastor got up and said, I believe we ought to sing one more verse. Just one more verse. And that man in his 50s that had come to hear me preach for 30 years stepped out of his pew and walked down the aisle. Got in the altar and the church all. I thought he was saved. He come to hear me so much. But the church knew he wasn't. They all emptied out and were shouting hallelujah and glory to God, high-fiving one another. And that man got saved by the grace of God. I tell you, it's still good to be saved by the grace of God. I hope that roots in somebody tonight, that it's good to be saved, good to know the Savior, good to be around the saints. I hope that roots in somebody. Good to be around the saints. Brother Jay, I love you, brother. You tell me you've had a hard year, that hurts me. In my heart, I hurt because you hurt. Because my joy and your joy got together for all these years. And that's the way it works, folks. And then lastly, I want to close with, I hope my joy for souls roots in somebody here tonight. I know I could have preached every one of them, but I ain't going to take the time. I just want you to get the message tonight. There are souls going to hell. And some of them you can lead to the Lord, and I can't. They won't listen to a preacher. I knocked a door one night, preacher. I knocked a door. And a man opened the door and I said, "Sir, I'm Benny Hatfield, pastor of Lakeview Baptist Church. Me and my deacon are out knocking doors and I want to see if I can come in and talk to you about the Lord." That man looked at me, jerked that door back. And he said, "My wife ran off with a preacher last week." What could I say? All I could say was, sir, I'm sorry. He said, that don't get my wife back. He had such a hatred for me, there was nothing I could do. And my deacon was standing there. And Hugh Wayne said, called him by name and said, you know me, I run the grocery store down here. He said, oh yeah, Hugh Wayne, I know you. He said, well, this is my preacher. And he hadn't run off with anybody's wife. This is my church that we're out knocking doors for. And he said, come on in, Hugh Wayne. And he let us come in, and I watched Hugh Wayne Gibson take his Bible and lead that man to the Lord that night. I could not, but Hugh Wayne did. Amen. And I am convinced in my heart that there is somebody in this world that you are supposed to win. If that wasn't true, you would not be here. God would take you home. There's somebody you're supposed to win. And I can't win them. Only you can. So my question tonight is, first off, did his joy root? And secondly, did his joy remain that your joy might remain? That joy, have we gotten over it? Have we gotten to the place where we just give up on this world? Let's stand and bow for prayer.